verse 19, David, according to the saying of Gad, went up. When you go closer to God, you never go down, you go up. As the Lord commanded, and Arinoah looked and saw the king and his servant coming toward him. And Arinoah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Arinoah said, "Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant?" David said, "To buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar, and unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people." And Arinoah said unto David, "Let my lord the king's sake take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice and threshing instruments and the other instruments of the oxen for the wood." All these things did Arinoah as the king gave unto him the king. And Arinoah said unto the king, "The Lord thy God accept thee." And the king said unto Arinoah, "Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord thy God of that which doth cost me nothing." So David thought and bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated. I've read that how many times, and I never even knew what entreated was. It means to ask earnestly, to make an earnest request or a petition. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was earnestly asked. David made a request. The outcome was the plague was stayed for Israel. Tonight we got an opportunity to make requests, to worship, to love God. David understood that well. He knew when to build altars in his life and when to stop and take time. You know, I've been thinking about technology a lot lately. I've been way behind technologically, but this year, one of my goals is to get technologically savvy. And I've been thinking about uploading and downloading. Never even knew totally what uploading and downloading was until I really got on Facebook and started really Googling stuff. In the last 2 years, I've gotten a little more savvy about computers, uploading and downloading. And I've realized one thing. We upload to God. He downloads to us. You know that? He downloads to us. Whatever our needs are, when we make our petitions known. Let tonight be a night that you can upload to Him your praise, your worship, your thanksgiving, your love, your adoration, all that you have in your heart to God. And let Him download something into your life and a blessing tonight. Because I know you love Him. God bless.
Special, the madness around me, like a child who's afraid of the dark. But when I call on Jesus, all things are possible. I can mount the wings like eagles and soar.
You have the power of
other name, no other name. I know no 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 other name, no other name. I know.
Be exalted.
Be exalted. Be exalted. Be exalted. Higher and higher. Be exalted. Be exalted.
You bring
brings me to my knees to share this love across the earth. The beauty of your holy word. So I kneel before you, God. I lift my hands, cause you set me free. So I shout out your name from the rooftops. I proclaim that I am yours. I am yours.
Live by what I see.
for it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible through you. Blind eyes are open. Strongholds are broken. I am living by faith.
Thank you, Jesus. Ah, feels good to be in the presence of the Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to be here once again, God. Opportunity to narrow the gap, God. To draw closer to you, God. Find help and strength in your spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why don't you lift your voice? Why don't you clap your hands? Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you. We honor you. We clap our hands. We lift our voice. We shout. We sing. We give praise unto your name, Jesus, for you are worthy. You are worthy, Jesus. You are worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated for a few moments. I want to say a sincere thank you to any and all that were involved in the potato luncheon fundraiser this morning. I believe after all the donations were turned in and then the cost for expenses were taken out, looks like the youth fund raised about $300 this morning. So thank you so much. Wow. Special thanks to Brother and Sister Grimm. They put a lot of hard work and effort into providing that, making that possible. Thank you so much. And at first, I think it was on Wednesday night, I said something about desserts. And she's like, well, nobody signed up for desserts yet. And I said, well, that needs to change. And then now we have so many desserts, which is a good thing, that we invite you downstairs after service for a time of, now it's just dessert, so if you haven't had a meal yet, you may want to rub the Subway and grab a sandwich real quick or something. But as far as dessert goes, we got plenty of dessert. And so we want you to join us downstairs if you'd be willing to do so. Just time of fellowship. We'll have coffee and other refreshments and, of course, plenty of sweets. And so we encourage you to come downstairs after service. If you would be so kind to stand to your feet, I know I won't let you sit for a spell. I know there are probably numerous needs here in the house. But I want us to take a couple special needs of the Lord in prayer. Let's remember Brother Bill Kellum, not been feeling well, was not able to be here with us in service this morning nor this evening. And he is always greatly missed. He is such a big part of what we do in music. And not only that, just his spirit and having him here. And so we want to lift him up before the Lord, pray for healing touch in his body. Also, you may or may not know this, and I don't think Brother Davis would be hesitant at all in me telling you this, but tomorrow, Brother Davis, the former pastor of the church, goes in for a procedure. They're going to, they found some spots of skin cancer on his nose, and so they're going to remove those tomorrow, and so he's going to be in a bandage for a while. But I know that he would covet your prayers in going in for a procedure of that nature, and so we thank God that they were able to find it, and they feel very certain that they're just be able to take a couple layers. They don't feel it's deep or below the surface of the skin, and so they're just going to do a what they consider to be a minor procedure, but we want God's hand and help to be there in that situation. Can we go to the Lord in prayer right now? Dear Jesus, we love you. Oh, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house, in your presence, to lift you up and magnify your name that is above every name. I know there are others here, not here for reasons of sickness, God, for Brother Bill Kellum, for Brother Gary Day, God, others who are not here, Lord. You know the reason, God, but we ask, God, that you would minister, that you would help, that you would strengthen, God, those in need of your touch, Lord. We all stand here this evening, God, in need of you, asking you to touch, to minister, to help, God, to strengthen us, God. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. Let us give testimony of your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We applaud you, Jesus. We magnify you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you have your Bibles and you would turn in them with me. John chapter number 19. It's been a couple weeks since I preached from John, so it's about time to get back to it. John chapter number 19, begin reading in verse number 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother's sister Mary, the wife Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother. Jesus is hanging upon the cross. He's in the final moments before death, beaten, bruised, bloody, no doubt a gory sight to be seen. Hung in shame and utter nakedness, he's hanging there, and he looks down and sees his mom. The one who's been with him from birth. Certainly there were others there that were close to Jesus. Best we can tell by the scripture, John himself was there. Mary, Zan, Mary, the Magdalene. But something happened when Jesus looked down and saw Mama. He saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And he saith to the disciple, behold thy mother. From that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, and that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. There was set a vessel full of vinegar, and he filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and brought it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. With the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject. Care and compassion from the cross. Care and compassion from the cross. Can we pray? Dear Jesus, I love you. Thank you for this opportunity to preach unto these precious people. I thank you for your word that challenges me. Thank you, God. The power of your presence, God, which renews me in the spirit of my mind and helps me, God, to see things clear, to understand your ways and how wonderful they are. I love you, Jesus. I praise you. I thank you. I glorify you. God, I give you honor that you are so due and so worthy of. Lord, let me see the picture. God, let me go back in my mind, if I could, and see the care and compassion that came from you even while you hung upon the cross. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. I honor you, Jesus. In your name that is above every name, the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Care and compassion from the cross. The more I read and understand the story of Jesus, the more amazed I become. The more real the moments of his life become to me, the more I realize how unfathomably wonderful he is. The more I see him for who he is, the more I feel kind of like Job. Where Job said in Job 42, 5 and 6, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. The more I see and understand, the more that Jesus is revealed unto me, the more inadequate I feel. The more I understand that gap, if you will, that exists between me and the perfect man. The more I see what he did and even the words that he said upon the cross, the more I find myself liking lyrics such as this by a song by the Planet Shakers. And it's talked about, there is no one like you, Lord. Who can match your marvelous work, O Lord? Who can match the things that you do? Who can match the beauty inside of you? What compares to the power that comes from you? What compares to the love that you give? What compares to the glory that flows from you? Higher and higher we lift your name. Higher than everything, there is no one like you. There is no one like you, Lord. You are so holy. You are strong and mighty, full of glory and majesty. See, to me, some of the most amazing words of Jesus were those that came from him while he hung upon the cross. In the midst of immense pain and torment, while suffering for our sins, while breathing some of his last breaths before his death, what he says is so amazing. The conversation from the cross, if you will, just boggles my mind. I read what he said and I wonder what it would have been like to be there and see what expressions were on his face. How was he crying out in these ways? And as I think about it and I read about this care and compassion that comes from him, even while he's on the cross, it absolutely astounds. See, we could focus on him saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We could focus upon the fact that he's bearing their sins upon the tree, but yet not a word of anger, not a word against them. In fact, it's just words of forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even as they pounded the nails, even as they mocked and hid and spit upon them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It astounds me that anybody could have that type of forgiveness. Anybody could have that type of spirit.
We could talk about how after he asked and he says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Bible says he cries that out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But yet even after that, even after he acknowledges being forsaken, he says, Father, to thy hands I commend my spirit. Ooh. Feeling forsaken, yet forgiveness and love in his heart so much that he still looked toward heaven and said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Oh, how wonderful those words. We could talk about how that he turned to the malefactor and said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And all these passages present a beauty beyond compare. However, I would like to draw our attention to something else Jesus said while on the cross. Something that also reveals such care and compassion. And on the surface, it may seem like a few simple statements. The Bible says that Jesus looks at those standing by. And in those that are standing by him, he notices mama. He sees the one who was probably the first clear face he saw as an infant. He sees the one who encouraged him even as he was learning obedience through the things which he suffered. He saw the one. And while others had come and gone, and while others were there, and while he had selected the disciples himself, they had only been with him for about 3.5 years, but now he looks at the one who has been with him the whole time. He looks down and he sees mama. And he says, woman, behold thy son. Mom, don't just look at me. See me. Woman, behold thy son. Now you can have your own opinion about this, and I know that numerous depictions have Jesus displaying pure agony and anguish, and while I would never seek to demean or diminish the pain that he was experiencing on the cross, I wonder what happened in that moment. I wonder what was on the face of Jesus when he looked at his mother Mary and said, woman, behold thy son. You may not understand all of this, mama. You may contemplate even in yourself why they've taken your son that you know has never done any wrong. Your son who has never ever in his life made a mistake. Your son who is the sweetest and most gentle and most loving and most forgiving person upon the face of the earth, and you see him hanging here in agony and torment. Woman, behold thy son. Mama, don't just look at me. See me. I don't know about you, but maybe Hebrews gives us a little glimpse into maybe what was going on, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. I know the Bible doesn't say it, and this is merely conjecture on my part, but I wonder if in that moment Jesus smiled. Maybe this doesn't mean much to you, but I wonder if in that moment when he looked down at his mama, I know all the depictions having in anguish and agony, and I'm not demeaning the pain and the torment that he undoubtedly felt, but I wonder if in that moment when when he made eye contact with Mama, I wonder if maybe Jesus smiled. I wonder if Mary, Mama, you've been there the whole time, and Mama, you've pondered some things in your heart, and I know you don't understand everything that's going on, but Mama, woman, behold thy son. Look at me. It's almost like role reversal was going on, because any of you who have ever been a parent, you know there's been times when your child's been in pain and you've been hurting, and you've tried to get the face and say, look at me, look at me, look at me. I'll tell on myself a little bit. We were down in Florida and during our vacation, I had this wonderful idea to take the girls fishing. So I did, and I loaded up my wife and Kinsley on the paddle boat, and we went out in the pond and we were fishing. And I should have known better. I should have thought it through, but I should have realized I got a little girl on the paddle boat and she's right behind me, and I probably shouldn't be fishing with this lure with six hooks on it. I reared back to cast, and all of a sudden something didn't happen right, and I heard this blood-curdling scream, and I looked back and realized I had hooked my daughter in her ear. Want to feel like Father of the Year? Paddling as fast as I can, trying to get to the shore. I know, I can tell. Those of you that know Kinsley know she can be a drama queen sometimes. It's a good thing we're out in the middle of nowhere. I'm afraid some people might have called 911. I'm trying to displace the hook that's in her ear. I've cut it off, and now I'm trying to get it, and it's in past the barb. And if you know what that's like, it wasn't fun. Screaming and crying, and Mama's crying. I'm trying not to cry. But I distinctly remember at one point looking at Kenzie and saying, baby, 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 look at me, look at me, look at me, look at Daddy, look at Daddy. It's going to be all right. Daddy's going to get the hook out. Just look at me, mate. Look at me, baby. Look at me. It's going to be all right. I wonder if maybe some role reversal was happening while Jesus was on the cross. And I wonder if maybe he was saying, Mama, look at me. Mama, make eye contact with me, Mama. It's going to be all right. Woman, behold thy son. Then he says this. Then the Bible says he looks at the disciple and he says, behold thy mother. In other words, Jesus looked at what we, best we can tell by scripture, he looks down at John the Beloved and says, behold thy mother. Look at her, John. About to expire, about to be gone from this life, and then I look at her, John. Behold thy mother. What really hit me about this, and what is the main focus and point of why I would bring this out and why I would take so much time to talk about these seemingly simple statements that Jesus made from the cross is because at that moment I thought most of us would just be caring about ourselves. Most of us, we wouldn't have faulted Jesus if he would have focused upon his own pain and his own torment. We wouldn't have faulted Jesus if he would have been too upset and too much in pain to even have casual conversation, if you will. Now, we wouldn't have faulted him, but Jesus, being who he is, has care and compassion even while he's hanging upon the cross. Mama, don't worry about me. But John, you worry about Mama. behold thy mother. One of the last things I'm going to do before I expire, before I take my last breath, is I'm going to make sure someone's going to take care of mama. I'm going to look down and say, behold thy mother. Mama, it's going to be all right. I know you don't understand everything, but you need to find some comfort in the reality that I'm looking at you from this cross, and there's still care and compassion coming from me. Hold thy mother. Then he says this, I thirst. He hit me. Jesus was more concerned about the needs of others than he was his own. Till after he made sure mama was going to be okay, before he relinquished and said, I myself, I thirst. God, help me understand the principle. Help me understand the precept that Jesus is showing and revealing in his care and compassion from the cross. You see, many times we get caught up in our own agony. We get caught up in our own sufferings. We get caught up in our own being on the cross and going through what we're having to go through. And we don't care enough to look down from where we are and say, wait a second, maybe there's some others with some needs. I know it seems like my needs are more important than hers right now. I know she's not the one hanging here, beaten and bloody, but you need to understand where my care and my concern is. It's not for myself, and it's not for my own well-being. This is what God intended from the very beginning. What I'm concerning myself with right now is some care and compassion for those that are around about me. And even as I'm about to expire, and even as I'm about to give my last breath, I'm still looking for the well-being of mama. Care and compassion even while on the cross, not focused upon his own pain, not looking to his own needs. They came last. It wasn't until he said all of these things that he said simply, I thirst. What are you trying to say, preacher? Just simply this. It's an unfortunate thing that we spend most of our time focusing upon our own pain and suffering and torment when the needs of others abound around about us. And if I truly want to be like Jesus, I got to learn how to have care and compassion even while I'm hanging upon my own cross. Even though I've taken up my cross and I'm following Jesus and I'm having to deal with some suffering and I'm going through a circumstance and I'm going through a situation. Well, if I could really understand, I need to get the focus upon what I'm going through and what I'm dealing with and realize there are others around about me that need some care and compassion. Said, I thirst. I don't know if you've ever heard of this man. His name is Dr. Bill Thomas. Full name, William H. Thomas. There's a documentary film coming out about his groundbreaking work in geriatric medicine. He has changed and is in the process, should I say, of changing what elder care is. I read an excerpt from an article in the Washington Post. It says, Dr. Thomas decided to transform the nursing home. Based upon a hunch, he persuaded his staff to stock the facility with 2 dogs, 4 cats, several hens and rabbits, 100 parakeets, along with hundreds of plants, a vegetable and flower garden, and a daycare for the staffers' kids to come and interact with those in the home. Said caring for the plants and animals restored the residents' spirits and autonomy, and many started dressing themselves, leaving their rooms and eating again. A number of prescriptions fell to half. And even death rate plummeted. because Dr. Bill Thomas began to realize the greatest care that I can give them is when I give them something else to care for. See, we're wired that way. We are created in His image. We're wired. It's no mystery why it's working. It's no mystery why it's having the effect that it's having. And now some individuals, they said they've had in some of these facilities, and now they've opened, they've given them opportunity to practice this in 50 facilities throughout the U.S. because they've had such remarkable work done in the one that he, and but honestly, he broke the law. He did something by law of the state of New York he wasn't supposed to do, but he realized, if I give them something to care for, it will help them. What are you saying, preacher? You see, I believe that a lot of our cares and a lot of our concerns would be solved if we started caring and concerning for others. Folks, in the natural, it's working in a nursing home. In the natural, we have an example of where a man has given people the opportunity to care for other people and other things, and as a result, they've increased. Their spirits have revived. And they're saying that the nursing homes that he's in charge of and he's implemented this new process, it's like it's a totally different spirit when you walk in the place. I'm closing. You can stand your feet. See, one of the things that Jesus taught us on the cross is that our needs should come last. I know that's not a popular message. I know we would rather focus on those things that concern us, those things that we care about. And I believe the voice of the Lord would say, care and be concerned with about the things that concern me, then I'll have care and concern about the things that concern you. The care and compassion that came from the cross and the man Christ Jesus, it astounds me and it challenges me. Challenging me to stop focusing upon me. He could have looked to either side and seen the nails. He could have looked down at his feet, blood dripping to the ground from off of him. No, he looked and said, "Woman, behold thy son." John, behold thy mother. Worry about me. I'll get around to it. I'll eventually say I thirst, but you see, my needs come last. Oh, Jesus. I'm going to do something a little different. If you're here tonight, you're going through something in your life and you're suffering, there's pain, there's say, I kind of feel like I'm not trying to minimize what Jesus went through, but Pastor, I kind of feel like I'm suffering and experience and taking up my cross. You need a healing in your body. You need strength in your spirit. If you know you need something from God tonight, I want you to make your way out of your pew and come down here to the front. Anybody else? Say, Lord, I need something from you tonight. I'm not trying to make it awkward. I just feel led of God to do this. Thank you for being courageous enough to come forward. Thank you for responding and saying there's something I need in my life, Pastor. It's a healing, maybe strength. Please understand the heart with which I'm about to do what I'm going to do. You're here, you're standing, you're representing a need. And we're about to pray. But I'm not going to pray for you. And I don't want you to pray for yourself. I know. The realization of your own need may have brought you forward, and you may be standing here and saying, I need this in my life. I appreciate that. But can you have care and compassion from your cross? A few moments when we go to the Lord in prayer, please don't pray for yourself. I know your need's important. I'm not trying to minimize that. I'm not trying to demean that, but what I want you to do in the next few moments, I want you to think about someone else's need. I want you to think about someone else. And I'm going to be quite honest with you, even if you're not here, even if you didn't come and present yourself and you're standing in the pew, listen to me. If you have an issue and you have difficulty of thinking the need of someone else, that's a revelation all in of itself. Because I can quickly come up with my own need. Well, Jesus, the care and compassion that came from you on the cross, and nobody would have blamed you for caring for yourself. You and your love, you had care and compassion for others. And as those who made their way here forward, I'm not seeking to embarrass them in any way, shape, or form. But Lord, I don't want them to think about their own need. I want them to find in their mind someone else who needs someone else to care about, someone else to concern themselves with. And even while they're on their own cross, and even while they're dealing with their own pain, and even while they're going through their own circumstances, get their eyes off their own problem and let them look unto someone else and say, Lord, help me help them. Lord, help me reach them. I don't want my care to come first. Let it come last. How bad would you want them to cry out for you? Are you willing to do the same for them? How much would you want them to care about your situation? The Bible says, do unto others as you would have done unto you. How much would you want them to cry out? How much would you want them to believe for your healing, for your help? Well, can you do it for them? Let me get the focus off me. Let me get the focus off me, Lord. You hung upon the cross, and you looked not upon your own needs, but you looked unto the needs of others. Care and compassion came from you even while you hung upon the cross. Be like you, Jesus. I want to have the kind of care and compassion. Help me, God, to be more like you. Help me to look beyond my need, to not be so concerned with my own cares. Help me to be more concerned with the care of others. I so easily dwell upon those things that matter to me. Can I find it in my heart to be a little bit like Jesus and start dwelling upon the cares and concerns of others?
To win that soul for me, Lord, lay some souls upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I ever do my heart to win that soul for thee. Oh, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me.
I don't know what the look was when Mary, the mother of Jesus, looked up and she met eyes with Jesus. I don't know what it was. I don't know if he smiled. I don't know what it was, but I do believe this. this with all my heart. It wasn't anything that gave despair. It wasn't anything that saddened her. It was something that uplifted her. It was something that encouraged her. Even while he hung upon the cross, he was still being Jesus. He was still looking down and offering care and concern. And I believe that whatever it was, it caused some joy to rise within her. It caused some hope to spring forth in her heart. Because he had care and compassion even on the cross.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move up.
Consumed with my own problems.
Jesus conquered the grave.
Help me look into the needs of others.
Oh. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures.
Won't you
fill my everything I believe in. Now I surrender. I surrender. Savior,
Lord, help me not to be so selfish.
He can move the mountains.
Help me not to concentrate just upon my cares and my concerns.
He is mighty to save. Forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world sing. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word, your example that so challenges us. Lord, you're my hero. To be like Jesus, to be like him. On earth, I'll long just to be like him. all through life's story, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like Him. Lord, help me to have care and compassion, even on the cross. Oh, one more time, can you lift your voice? Can you lift your hands toward heaven? What an example you give, God. How wonderful you are. How absolutely selfless. Thank you, Jesus. I bless you for your response to the word. We have opportunity. We'd love for you to join us downstairs for some desserts, coffee, drink. Lord Jesus, we pray that your blessing be upon the remainder of this night. Lord, so you bless the food, bless our fellowship together. We honor you. We praise your precious name. And we pursue your perfection. In Jesus' name we ask. God bless you. You may go in Jesus' name.